This is Digital Story Podcast number 802, August 3rd, 2021. Today's theme is Camera Industry Rebound. Are you in the game? I'm Derek Story. With a very positive recent report from Canon and others holding their own in 2021, it's beginning to feel like a conservative rebound for the camera industry. On today's show, we'll take a closer look at the trends, then report numbers and comments from our own community regarding potential purchases in 2021. I hope you enjoy the show. So this is kind of interesting for me because it's been so much doom and gloom over the last 18 months, everywhere, of course, but in our own camera industry as well. And at some point you're just going, well, how low can it go? And I always hate asking that question because it always seems like when I do, it can go lower, right? But finally, we may have hit bottom and be climbing upward. And so I thought, well, we got to talk about that. And not only do we have to talk about that a little bit, but also what are the folks in our own community thinking in terms of buying gear, what they're going to do for the balance of 2021 and even beyond that. So this is fun stuff to talk about. And I want to start with Canon because this is the shiniest star in the universe right now in our universe. And the reason being is because their Q2 financial results credit its EOS R5, R6 mirrorless cameras for a 101% year-over-year net sales increase. So of all the good news that's out there, this is the goodest, right? This is the best news out there. Let me read you a little bit from a report that was published on DP Review, and I do have the link to the original article in the show notes. Here's what they say. The data in its investors relations presentation shows Canon Consumer Camera Division pulled in 112.1 billion yen in net camera sales, more than double its 55.7 billion yen in sales the same quarter last year. Granted, Q2 FY2020 was when COVID-19 was hitting much of the world the hardest. This recovery is even better than Canon expected. The increase is also visible in Canon's operating profit. In Q2 fiscal year 2020, Canon's imaging business had an operating loss of 20.8 billion yen. In Q2 fiscal year 2021, it saw an operating profit of 20.9 billion yen. Canon attributes this growth to the strong sales of its EOS R5 and R6 mirrorless cameras and has raised its full-year outlook to reflect solid demand. Canon specifically references the growing RF lens lineup, which it says will be a driver of growth in its full-year outlook. So this is really good news. Now, Canon, of course, as we know, those of us that follow what's happened in the mirrorless space, Canon felt like they were a little late to the game or just couldn't quite get it together. Sony seemed to be dominating in terms of the full frame space. And then the other players, Olympus, Panasonic, Fuji, were doing, you know, well, relatively speaking, to what was going on in the market. However, once Canon put its back into this, and they did it in a big way, they have really moved the ball forward. Their cameras have been very well received. They've built out their lens lineup incredibly fast. And I mean, that part has been impressive. It is not easy building a lens catalog for a brand new mount. And Canon has done an admirable job. And then I think they have done a good job of marketing their stuff. I think they've done a good job playing to their existing customers, nudging them to move into the new mount. And suddenly you're thinking, wow, here Canon has this large consumer base. And if they could move a sizable percentage of them into this new lens mount, into this new camera system, and those people by basically all new lenses for that system, then you can see how this could go really well for them. And that appears to be the case. So I am thrilled for them. I am absolutely thrilled for them. They have moved a very big rock up a tall hill. And obviously it's not over yet, but it's looking good. And I'm very pleased about this report that just came out. I think it just came out the day that I'm recording this podcast. All right, so let's step back and look at a little broader picture because, you know, obviously Canon's the one that's really shining right now. But overall, things aren't terrible either. And let's look at CIPA's February data, which is the last report that I have. It came out in April, I believe, shows that 2021 is shaping up to be a year of stabilization for the camera industry. And that's, you know, more as a whole here. Let's take a little look. And I do have a link to this article as well. Let's take a little look at what's going on here. The year-over-year numbers are some of the best that we've seen in a while from CIPA, and the data backs up what some major camera companies have emphasized over past years in their interviews and financial result presentation for investors. The camera market is beginning to stabilize as the drop-off at the lower end of the market has more or less reached a plateau, and hobbyists and professional photographers who are less likely to trade out their dedicated cameras for smartphones are starting once again to make up the majority of the market. That would be you and me, right? So, you know, what they're saying there is that, you know, the market, the camera market was, I think, too dependent on those consumer sales, on those, you know, point and shoot cameras at the lower end there. And when those evaporated, when those sales evaporated because of smartphones, they really had to come back to us, right? To you and me and say, okay, yes, we know you're here. We know you're important and we're going to start developing better products for you. And I think that whole thing has happened now where we finally have dealt with writing off that loss at the bottom of the market. And they are focusing on mid-level and professionals and finally, you know, starting to get everything in place. So that part seems very real to me, and I agree with it. Let's go back to the article here. Considering March 2020 is when COVID-19 pandemic really started to impact the global economy, contextualizing the rest of CIPA's 2021 data will prove to be more difficult. Specifically, we're going to see a high year-over-year numbers for both production and shipments due to both being limited in 2020 due to COVID-19. But in future reports, we'll do our best to contextualize CIPA's data to ensure that we have a solid macro-level view of the photography market. So, you know, they're saying, look, you know, because of what happened in 2020, we have to put 2021 into some sort of perspective here. We're not exactly sure how to do that, but they do know that the numbers definitely look better now than they did a year ago. And I think that's what we're going to take to the bank. And you know, some of these stories are still in the middle. Like for instance, what is happening with Olympus? Because, you know, obviously right now they're not selling anything new because they don't have anything new in the market. But if OM Digital picks up after this transition period where Olympus left off, and if they can take advantage of that new Sony sensor out there, Sony has developed a new Micro Four Thirds sensor, a stacked CMOS sensor that has excellent resolution. We're going to see increase in resolution. We're also going to see an increase in what it can do video-wise. Then if that new sensor goes into a new camera that has all the magic that we're used to from Olympus, and it comes out at a price that people are willing to pay, well, that could turbocharge a whole segment of the market, you know, and that segment is, you know, very important to us, right? We're a big part of that segment. So there's a lot of things out there. We just don't know what's going to happen yet. We pretty much know what's going to happen with Canon. And, you know, they have set their path and they're marching down it. Nikon, to some degree, we know what's going on there, but not as clear as Canon, for sure. Sony, we're pretty sure what they're going to be doing, and they're going to keep doing their thing, and they're going to keep marching forward. Fujifilm, pretty clear there. I think they're on a pretty steady pace forward. Panasonic, I'm not quite as sure about, because they seem to be straddling two worlds right now. And I'm not really sure how that's going to play out for them. I have a gut feeling that it's going to be good, but you know, there's still a bit of a question mark there. Still have a bit of a question mark with Olympus. And then with Ricoh Pentax, well, I have some bad news for them when we get to what our Inner Circle member said. Let's put a bookmark there right now. So overall, I'm cautiously optimistic about how the market as a whole is moving forward. Right now, definitely led by Canon. So let's bring this a little closer to home. What are our own folks saying? So I ran a poll on the Inner Circle and asked them, are you thinking about a new camera in 2021? And what they had to say, I think, is very interesting. I'm going to share that with you right now. So 35% of them who responded said that they are considering a new mirrorless camera later this year. And I think some of that is, you know, putting a stack of chips on that Olympus, you know, OM digital number, betting that they're going to come out with something by the end of the year. But regardless, 35% are thinking about a camera sometime this year. I think that's a healthy number. That's a very good number. 40% are saying that their current gear is just fine and they're going to stand pat. And so, yeah, and it's funny, I'm just me personally, I'm a little bit in each of these camps. I really could use a new body to replace my EM1 Mark II. I don't have the EM1 Mark III. I love that camera. It just didn't work out for me to get it. I had other things I had to buy at the time. I want to see what the next camera is going to be beyond that, because I could really use that. I could really need that. Now, if that camera, if that specific camera doesn't come out that I want, then I'm going to stand pat. I'm okay. I can get by with what I have right now. I'm fine on lenses. I'm good on camera bodies. I would love a state-of-the-art Micro Four Thirds body, but, you know, it's got to be the right body. Right now, I feel kind of funny buying an EM1 Mark III. As great as it is, it's been out for so long, and the last thing I want is OM Digital to come out with the EM1 Mark IV that has that new Sony sensor and a whole bunch of new stuff that I'm just dying for, and I can't buy it because I spent my budget on the EM1 Mark III. This is a conundrum that we're all very familiar with, right? So I got 1 foot in the, I'm considering a new mirrorless camera if it's the right camera. I'm with 35% of the audience there. But I'm also with 40% saying that my current gear is just fine if they don't give me the camera that I want. If they don't give me the camera that I want. All right, now 15% of our audience said that they're fine with their existing camera, but they're interested in a new lens. And so they are looking at glass. And that's not a huge number, 15%, but it's a notable number. It's a notable number. And the reason why I think that's a notable number is because I think new glass has had so much to do with the success of Canon in 2021 that those lenses really kind of cement you into that particular mount. And lenses, I think, are, you know, a good business line for these companies. And if you're buying lenses, that means you're committed to the brand, you're committed to the mount. And I just think it's a good sign all the way around. So that 15% that says they're interested in some of these new lenses, I think that's noteworthy. Now, 10% are eyeing a new smartphone with advanced camera features. So what they're thinking is, okay, most likely my smartphone's a bit long in the tooth. The new smartphones are so good camera-wise. I'm okay with my interchangeable lens camera or my fixed lens camera. What I really need is a good camera on my smartphone that I can lean on when I need to, because I'm going to have that smartphone with me all the time. So 10% are eyeing a new smartphone with advanced camera features. Now, I'll be honest with you. I thought that number was going to be higher. to tell you the truth. I thought it was going to be higher than 10%. So that either tells me that a lot of folks in our community right now already have a smartphone that they're happy with in terms of camera features, or that they're still not relying as much on their smartphone camera as they are on their other gear, on their interchangeable lens gear. So that's kind of interesting. Now, I fall into the category of I have an iPhone 12 Pro Max, so I'm not in the market for smartphone. So I wouldn't pick this because I'm happy with my smartphone and I think it's going to be good for quite a while. And maybe that's just the case. Maybe so many folks have already upgraded that they're good for a bit. But 10% are eyeing a new smartphone with advanced camera features. Now, if you're keeping track of these percentages, you know that we're at 100%, but there's still one more category. There's still one more category. And that category was folks in our audience considering a new DSLR. And that category yielded zero. Not one person in our audience was eyeing a new DSLR. So that says a lot. And, you know, when I said put a bookmark on the Ricoh Pentax situation, that if not even one person in our audience is considering a new DSLR, that means that the new APS-C camera that Pentax came out with is not on anyone's radar in our audience. And I don't think that's great news for Pentax. I still believe that the DSLR has life. I think there are certain situations where it's a good camera to have, including having lenses and specific mounts and so forth. But at the same time, there just was no interest in our audience for a DSLR. None at all. So that's noteworthy. That's noteworthy. So the way this all shook out is that 35% are considering a new mirrorless camera, 40% are going to stand pat, 15% are looking for lenses, 10% are keeping their eyes peeled for a new smartphone. Probably the releases that we're going to see in the fall will be tempting them. And nobody is looking at a new DSLR. I'm sorry, DSLR folks. So let me read you just a few of the comments here, because that'll help kind of add a little bit more context to what we're talking about. The first one is, I own a few nice cameras and lenses and remind myself that they are good enough. If my iPhone 10 starts acting up, I won't hesitate to trade it in for an iPhone 12 Pro. And that's from Scott in our community. Next, Michael said, I love my D850. But really am interested in the Nikon Z6 Mark II to lighten my load. Well, that's Michael, and that is very much the trend in our community, which is, you know, travel lighter without sacrificing capability. Rohith said, I'm hoping for a new compact camera to replace my LX100 Mark II. I'm hopeful something comes out later this year. Yes, and you know, that is a terrific camera, the LX100. And I also like, you know, working with those cameras. You know, in my case, the Fujifilm X100V is sort of my camera in that category. But we do still have folks, you know, looking at that high-end compact camera. Vic said, I'm interested in a Canon R3 for Friday night high school football and concerts. So he's piling into that excellent number that Canon is building. And then finally from Karen, she says, unless Olympus does something irresistible camera-wise, I am awaiting the rumored new MacBooks with built-in SD card slots once again. That's probably where my dollars will go. I am lens heavy, so I don't need anything, but, well, you know. Yeah, I can relate. I do know, Karen. In other words, right now, my money is budgeted for that new MacBook. If they deliver on the computer that we've heard rumors about, that also includes, you know, with the MagSafe power adapter again. But if they don't deliver and someone else comes along with something very tantalizing, yes, we will change horses in midstream, right? We're consumers. We're allowed to do that. So what are our takeaways here? Well, the first thing that jumped out at me, of course, was no DSLR plans, zero. All right, duly noted. I'm beginning to think that in our audience, not even a topic anymore. Next, I'm impressed by Canon's rebound. Very impressed by what they've done. Just in terms of a business case, I think they have done a great job. Their cameras are doing well. Their lenses look terrific. Well done, Canon. And third, our Inner Circle comments remind me just how diverse our gear list is. Because, you know, we need to balance everything from our cameras to our computers to our smartphones. Plus, we still have to deal with software and subscription fees. That's a lot of different stuff to juggle, and it really does add up. So there's a lot of competition for our disposable budget. I predict that 2021 will continue to be a relatively thrifty year for most of our audience. That is, unless a camera manufacturer or a computer manufacturer comes out with something that just really checks all the boxes on our list. I feel like a lot of our folks then will go ahead and make the move, but it's got to be the right item. Camera manufacturers and computer manufacturers, you're on notice. You know, it's no longer just, you know, pumping out those little compact cameras to keep your bottom line nice and solid. Now you got to give us what we want, and we're watching. We have two new openings for the Oregon Coast Workshop in November. Sometimes real life gets in the way of our fun, and that's been the case for two of our signed up members for the Oregon Coast Workshop. They're not going to be able to make the event in November. And I'm really sad about that because both of the folks that are not able to come now are folks that would make great contributions to our group. So hopefully we can catch up with them at a later date. What that does mean for both our audience and for Scott's audience, Scott Davenport's audience, who I'm co-leading this workshop with, is that we do have two openings. So if you missed out the first time, because the workshop did sell out quickly, that workshop that is going to be based in Florence, Oregon, which is a direct line west from Eugene Airport. So you can fly into Eugene Airport and then just boom, travel straight west, and I'll put you right in Florence at the headquarters for our workshop. That's going to be on November 9 through 12. November 9 through 12 in a beautiful spot, not affected by any of the fires that are going on in southern Oregon or the very northern part of California there. So I'm co-leading this event with Scott Davenport. Scott has had a lot of experience up there on the Oregon coast. He knows all the great places to go. And for those of you who have ever been on a workshop with Scott, either one of his workshops or he's attended two or three of ours, you know he's a great guy too. And we're limiting participation to 10 photographers. So that means 10 photographers and two leaders. That's a really great number. I'm going to have the new VW electric ID4 on this workshop, so that's going to be fun. Looks like I'm going to have the new Fujifilm medium format camera on this workshop, so that'll be fun. Just a lot of good stuff here. If you want to reserve a spot by placing a deposit, all you have to do is click on the link in the show notes or just go to thenimblephotographer.com. Click on workshops, you'll see it right there, and you can save your spot. We have two openings right now. I'm very excited for folks that wanted to come but couldn't. Now it's looking like you might be able to. Alrighty, so hope to see you there, and I'm looking forward to talking more about this workshop up the road. Metadata from the Olympic photographer's photos suggests that the EOS R3 will have a 24 megapixel sensor. I thought since Canon did so well in our financial report that we need to do a Canon story about the upcoming R3. So here we go. This is about photographer Jeff Cable, by the way, whom I follow on Instagram, whom I know, who's a great guy, and he's working in Tokyo right now for the Summer Olympics. So here's what DP Review had to say about this, and I have a link to the article in the show notes. Jeff Cable, a photographer covering the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, appears to have accidentally shared the sensor resolution of Canon's forthcoming EOS R3 mirrorless camera. I'm going to just stop there for a second. I don't think it was an accident at all, right? Jeff knows what he's doing. Canon knows what they're doing. I think this was totally above board, right? No accidents here. Anyway, let's go on with the article. To date, Canon has announced the EOS R3 is in development and even shown off the body of the camera, but it hasn't yet revealed what specifications we'll find from the hardware inside the camera. However, we might have at least one piece of the puzzle thanks to Cable, who has been testing out Canon's unreleased EOS R3 camera at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. On a blog where Cable is sharing his photos from his time covering the Olympics, he's uploaded a few images that still have the metadata attached. As spotted by members of Canon Rumors forums, this metadata can be read by the Chrome plugin XF Viewer Pro, which shows at least some of the images were taken by Canon EOS R3 camera and have the resolution of 6,000 pixels by 4,000 pixels, the image coming from a 24 megapixel sensor. This isn't necessarily confirmation that Canon's R3 mirrorless camera will have 24 megapixel sensor, but the data is there to see and it appears to be legitimate so far as we can tell. We have been able to confirm the metadata in the images. DP Review has contacted Canon for comment on this matter, but no response has been received at time of publishing of this article. So yeah, there are no accidents here by any stretch of the imagination. I think this is a great way for Canon to let the world know that this is going to be a 24 megapixel camera, because, you know, one thing that people are going to say, well, why is it only 24 megapixels? And a lot of times when you have a high performance camera for sports, the megapixel count is a little bit lower so that the other aspects of the image can be higher. And I think that's what's going on with this here. And I think instead of Canon just coming right out saying, oh, it's going to be 24 megapixels and dealing with it, now what we're seeing are these great shots by Jeff, and they are really good. His shooting at the Olympics is fantastic, as always. We're seeing these beautiful shots. He's capturing, motion and capturing, you know, these performances at their peak, which means, you know, he's got a nice fast burst rate and he's got great lenses and all this stuff. So we're seeing these images. They're great images and they're 24 megapixel. And we're going, oh, that makes sense. That's how this all works. It's that kind of camera for this sort of thing. I think it's very smart indeed. I don't think there are any accidents here at all. And I think for a high performance camera such as the R3, I think this 24 megapixel sensor, probably a very good choice. All right, let's do a little virtual camera club news. A big thanks to our Inner Circle members. As you can see from today's podcast, they are just helpful in so many ways. Not only do they support this community month in and month out, but they also support us with their knowledge, their feedback, their ideas. Just a huge thanks to everyone who participated in the latest poll that allowed me to do this podcast. Without your information, this show would not have been as interesting. And I thank you. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, all you have to do is go to any page on The Digital Story, click on the Patreon tile, take a look at that area, see what you think, and hopefully you'll join us. I talked about the Oregon Coast physical workshop, but we also have a nice slate of online workshops. They're on the same page as the Oregon workshop. In order to see them, all you have to do is go to thenimblephotographer.com, click on workshops, and you'll see Capture One Pro 21, you'll see infrared, you'll see a writing for artists. You'll see all sorts of stuff there. We also have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story for our TDS workshops. You can just click on that, take you over there. The online workshops are going very well. They're a lot of fun. It's a great way to spend time with other photographers, and it's a great way to improve your skills, and they're affordable. Again, all you have to do is go to thenimblephotographer.com and click on workshops. And finally, a huge thanks to our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of The Digital Story. They're the folks that supply all of my printing paper. I don't use anything else but Red River paper, and I don't need to because they have everything that I need. Their service is excellent, their knowledge is wonderful, and they are passionate about printing. If you want to get in the printing game, all you have to do is click on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Go over there, take a look, read some reviews, check out some tutorials, start brewing some projects in your mind that you can do, get the paper, start printing, start making some artwork that you can hand to other people. Also want to mention that they have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And again, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story, and I thank them so much for their support. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I will be back next week with more interesting stuff. Until then, be safe, be creative, take a lot of pictures. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.